That great American statesman, Thomas Jefferson, worked out a way to handle his anger. He included it in his rules of living, which described how he should believe adults should live. And he wrote this: when angry, count 10. When very angry, 100. About 75 years later, Mark Twain had a little different take on it. He said, when angry, count 4. When very angry, swear. Now, I'm sure if we're honest at all, we will admit that we've tried everything from Jefferson's philosophy to Twain's, and it's still hard to get a hold of our anger, isn't it? It's a real problem. It has a way of disarming us, of robbing us of our testimonies, and it injures relationships with others. I believe anger is one of the oldest tools in the devil's toolbox, and it's still one that he uses quite often. Why? Because it works. Anger has caused more death and destruction than any other emotion, and that is right up Satan's alley. So tonight, as we're looking at the devil's toolbox, we're going to consider anger management from a biblical perspective. I want to begin tonight by assessing the intense feeling. Anger is an emotion that is common to everyone. Some have more issues with it than others, but we all are susceptible to anger. We are imperfect people. We live in an imperfect world. We are surrounded by other imperfect people. So we are guaranteed to regularly encounter this feeling. How do you know if somebody's angry? A lot of times you can just see it, right? Redness of the face, swollen neck veins, clenched fists. Sometimes a stumbling for words. You get so mad you can't even talk straight. A person's vision may be blurred because anger can cloud the visual centers of the brain. Other anger cues include a decreased appetite, feeling unusually hot or cold, muscle tension, increased respiration and heartbeat, dry mouth, loud, rapid, or high-pitched speech, stomach upset or churning, clenched teeth, twitches or anxious behaviors, like maybe tapping a pencil or drumming your finger, something like that, walking hard or pacing back and forth. So you're either angry or you have the flu, right? Actually, anger does a number on our bodies. According to one doctor from Harvard University, respiration deepens, the heart beats more rapidly, the arterial pressure rises, the blood is shifted from the stomach and intestines to the heart, central nervous system, and the muscles. The processes of the alimentary canal cease, sugar is freed from its resources in the liver, the spleen contracts and discharges its contents of concentrated corpuscles, and adrenaline is secreted. It means you get an energy rush. And that's one thing about anger. It translates to energy. When you get really, really upset about something, you want to do something, right? Usually hit something or kick somebody. Or, you know, your body is like, has all this energy you want to do something with. And oftentimes that leads to destructive ends. This is typical of the fight or flight response the body has when it's stressed. But if the anger is not resolved quickly, the body will adjust to that higher level of arousal just as easily as your body might adjust to the temperature if you stayed for a long time in the desert. The blood pressure will go up and stay there. It won't come down very easily again. Now, this is all part of the adaptive way that God created our bodies to act. But here, the adaptation is destructive. Our blood vessels can tolerate they can't tolerate elevated blood pressure for long periods of time. And this is what doctors will sometimes call essential hypertension or high blood pressure. Now, I know sometimes high blood pressure can be hereditary. Sometimes it's part of our diet. But you know, it could also be an evidence of unbridled anger. When we're just mad all the time, and our blood pressure is up all the time, it's going to stay there. And that has detrimental effects on our body. One doctor that studied this, and he was a Christian, so he came at it from a biblical perspective, was named Archibald Hart. He wrote a book a number of years ago called Adrenaline and Stress, and I highly recommend it to anybody. And he talks about an experience that he had that brought home the truth about anger. He said, I was on a speaking tour in Australia and decided I'd learn how to throw a boomerang. Early one sunny morning during a break, I enrolled in a boomerang school at a nearby park. The instructor showed us how to stand, how to hold the boomerang, and how to throw it. I did exactly what I had been told. That little piece of twisted wood left my hand like a bullet, twirling furiously as it went around a wide circle. And then as I stood there, staring in awe, it came back at me. Now, I knew this was the whole point of the exercise, but I was taken by surprise. The instructor shouted, "Duck!" which I did, or I'd have been seriously injured. That thing passed right over where my head had been, spinning furiously. Boomerangs are dangerous weapons, but so is anger. It injures the one who throws it about. That's the thing about anger. It comes back to the one who's holding it. A different person said, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to the person on whom it is poured. We think, you know, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, which is probably one we can ill afford to lose. We hurt ourselves more than we hurt anybody else. It is powerful. It's a potentially destructive emotion that's got to be handled with great care lest it blow up in our faces. This morning we looked at really the first evidence of anger in human history. It was seen in the person of Cain, Adam and Eve's first son. The Bible tells us he was very angry and his face was downcast. You could read it on his face. He was very, very upset. Why? Because when he and his brother Abel brought sacrifices to God, God accepted Abel's, but he rejected Cain's. And there was a reason for that. Cain did not bring the sacrifice he should. God wanted the first. He wanted the best. And the scripture says he brought some of the fruit of the soil. God rejected that. And instead of saying, okay, my bad, let me make it right, he just got angry. He got mad. And he took it out on his brother, who had done the right thing. Now, before all that transpired, God warned Cain of the consequences of his repressed fury. And he pointed out the escape. He said, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Cain, just do the right thing. But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. It's pictured like a crouching wild beast ready to pounce. And sin wants to control. It wants to master us, but we must master it. Now that is a dire warning. Unfortunately, it's a warning Cain did not heed, and it led to the murder of his brother, first homicide in human history. But the sad part of it is God had given him a way out. Yes, sin wants to control you, but you must control it, which tells us it's possible. It can be done. We often don't, but that's on us. Well, I want to move on to acknowledging the important facts. Calvin Miller writes vividly, "Anger is that unbridled emotional storm that makes one unpredictable and dangerous." Another resource states, "Anger can most often be defined as an emotional response to a perceived wrong or injustice." It doesn't even have to be a real wrong or injustice. If we think it is, we can be triggered to anger. But the one definition I found that stuck with me is this: anger is a strong emotion of irritation or agitation that occurs when a need or an expectation is not met. Now we get to what it really is. I expect something to happen, and when it doesn't, I get mad. When I turn that computer on, it's supposed to work. When it doesn't, I want to throw it, right? That person is supposed to do this. They promised they would, and they didn't come through. Now I'm mad. Unmet expectations. Unmet needs often is the trigger for anger. Now, what we see about anger is that it's not always wrong. I mean, there are times when God gets angry. We call that righteous indignation. There are times Jesus was angry when he was here on earth. Paul says in Ephesians, "Be angry and sin not." It's possible to do it. When we hear of hideous cruelty, when others are defrauded and affronted and insulted, we ought to be outraged. Henry Ward Beecher wrote, "A man that does not know how to be angry does not know how to be good. A man that does not know how to be shaken to his heart's core with indignation over evil things is either a fungus or a wicked man." So, anger in itself is not wrong, but because we are sinful, because our heart has been corrupted, our anger tends to be very self-oriented, and that's where it becomes wrong. You see, righteous anger arises out of an accurate perception of true evil, a violation of God's moral law. It focuses on God. It's about God's will not being done. It's not about me and my will. It's not about my needs. It's not about my expectations. It's about His. It's very difficult for us to separate that. And righteous anger is always, always, always under control. Jesus expressed righteous indignation, but he was always under control. We've got to be careful because in anger we sometimes lose control. And that's when it becomes a problem. Though the Bible does give some examples of righteous anger, remember when Jesus cleansed the temple? Those examples are pretty few and far between. When the Bible speaks of anger, more often than not, it's speaking of our own sinful anger, our selfish response to not getting things our way. We're more likely to be concerned with the negative impact of sinful actions on us than we are that it's a violation of God's law. Or we might even use the fact that it's a violation of God's law to justify our own angry response. Again, anger usually occurs when a need or an expectation is not met. Now, when God gets angry, it's not that he has a need that isn't being met. God's not needy. He has an expectation of right and justice, and when that's not fulfilled, yes, his anger can be kindled. He gets angry at sin. You go so far as to say he hates sin. That says many times in the scripture, God hates sin. He hates what it has cost his creation. He hates what it cost his son. His anger is legitimate and righteous. But our anger tends to be more over our stuff, right? Our agendas, our preferences, our schedules, our desires. When we don't get what we want, that's usually what makes us angry. Sometimes it's frustration when things don't go the way we planned. Sometimes it's humiliation when others look down on us. Sometimes it is rejection of others. But all of it kind of revolves around this idea that things didn't turn out the way I wanted them to. I think it should be this way, and it's not that way, and so I get angry. Sometimes those expectations are just unrealistic. We may not say this, but we act like we should live forever. And that we certainly shouldn't age as we get older. Well, sorry. Those things are going to happen. Now, some of our expectations may be reasonable, but it's usually in response to disappointment that our anger is kindled. Oftentimes, it's really rooted in pride. Pride can feed our anger. Anger can reinforce our pride. We often make excuses for our pride. You know, it might be our nationality, our heredity, maybe even the color of our hair. Look at that, see if we got any redheads out there, you know. Yeah, some people, oh, I was born with red hair, I've got anger. Like, that's an excuse? In facing up to our anger, we need to realize that no one causes us to be angry. This is very enlightening. This is something we really need to hear. Because I catch myself saying this a lot. You make me so angry. Right? Or, that makes me so mad. Wrong. Nothing makes us angry. We make ourselves angry. Anger, while it is an emotion, leads to a choice. And that choice is always ours. How we deal with that feeling ultimately is at our doorstep and ours alone. We can't blame anybody else because we have an anger problem. Let's face it, most of the time we get angry because we don't get our way. And we're born with that. How many of you ever seen a child throw a tantrum? Anybody? Now, here's one. Has anybody ever seen an adult teach a child how to throw a tantrum? I haven't seen that. It might be on TikTok somewhere, but I haven't seen it. Kids come by that honest, don't they? Because we're born with it. It's part of our sin nature. It's all about me. And when I don't get what I want, when I want it the way I think it ought to be, I get mad. And that's something indeed we are born with. But that doesn't excuse our anger. We're still responsible for the choices we make. So yeah, there is such a thing as righteous anger. You see it displayed by God in the Bible. But human anger is rarely righteous. James puts it this way in James 1:20. Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life God desires. Ooh. We got to remember that one. Man's anger. Our self-centered emotional outbursts where we get out of control. That anger does not bring about God's will. It might be great on a TV screen, but it just don't work in real life. So what can we do? How can we handle our anger in a God-honoring way? Here's where we need to adopt what I'm calling an indomitable plan. Indomitable meaning it doesn't dominate us. We need to dominate it. We need to be in control of it. And I would say don't give up. Don't give in to anger. Don't just chalk it up. Well, it's just the way I was born. That's just the way I am, and I can't change. Yes, you can. God is in the life-changing business, and He gives us the ability to do it. He gives us the power. I want to go back to that story of Cain and Abel. When God confronted Cain before he murdered his brother, He began by asking, "Why are you angry?" I pointed this out this morning. I believe there's an implied question there. Do you have any right to be angry? He asked that question to Jonah in Jonah 4:4. Do you have any right to be angry? Think about it, Cain. Why are you so mad? If you break it down, you realize that it's your own fault. You broke God's law. You did not do what you were told to do and what you knew what is right. Because the very next thing God says is, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted? Cain, you know better. If you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. If you do the right thing, it's going to turn out all right. But he didn't. He chose not to. And we saw what happened. But we have that same choice ourselves. So I want to give a few steps in how we can control our anger and not allow anger to control us. The first step, make sure we have the facts before we jump to a conclusion. You know, some people's only exercise is jumping to conclusions. That's not a good idea. James 1:19 says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How often do we react quickly to a situation? We see something, we hear something, and bam, we are at 100 miles an hour. Our anger is just that fast. I think if we heed the first two commands, to be quick to listen and slow to speak, maybe we would keep from becoming angry so quickly. So make sure you know what's going on. Notice James' word, slow. You know, here's where Thomas Jefferson had some real wisdom. If you're angry, count to 10. Take a pause. When you're really angry, count to 100. I'm not advocating Mark Twain's twist on that, by the way. Take a breath. Take a moment. The main thing is to delay the emotion and give yourself time to think. Anger is the anesthetic of the mind, wrote C.S. Lewis. Because how often do we become so angry we can't think straight? The emotion takes over and we're just not thinking rationally. Many people who commit crimes out of anger say, "I don't know what came over me. I don't even remember doing it." They're so controlled by that anger, but it's a control they've given up on their own. They've allowed that anger to take control. Two passages in Proverbs speak to this. In Proverbs 16:32, it says, "Better a patient man than a warrior, one who controls his temper than one who takes a city." Well, that kind of flips our way of looking at things, doesn't it? In Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Now, I know it's a lot of fun to watch someone go Rambo, right? And just blow everybody away. But that's not the way we live and honor Christ. We need to be in control. And remember, self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not just the dining hall at Little Galilee. It's actually one of the fruit of the Spirit. Being in control of yourself. We often speak of anger as losing control. God wants us to stay under control in the power of the Spirit. Next, you must distinguish between legitimate and illegitimate anger. Righteous anger is a reaction to a moral wrong that we witness, where we share God's feelings on the matter. And there's plenty of opportunities for that. Just watch the news. Or not. But if you do, you might get angry when you hear about people that kill and steal and assault and do all kinds of horrible things to other people. And don't even get me started on people that do things to animals, right? Oh yeah, that makes your blood boil. And I think part of that is the image of God within us that reacts like He does. But what do we do with that anger? Even righteous anger, what do we do with it? First and foremost, we should pray. Talk to God about it. Why does this make me angry? Does God agree with me in this? Does He get angry about this as well? If it's another person that's causing that anger to well up, tell God on him. And then leave it with Him. You let Him deal with the consequences. One writer put it this way, if you find yourself growing angry at someone, pray for him. Anger cannot live in an atmosphere of prayer. Somebody really gets your goat, pray for him. And don't pray for a divinely appointed Mack truck to run over them. That's not the kind of prayer we're talking about. Truly pray for them. But one thing we should never do, even in righteous anger, is take matters into our own hands. The Bible is filled with examples of people who had every right to be angry, but when they took it upon themselves to right the wrong, they ended up messing it up worse than it was. Moses had a right to be angry when he saw an Israelite being beaten by an Egyptian. But when he stepped in and expressed that anger, he ended up killing the man. Later on, when he was correctly angry at the attitudes of the people, he overstepped his bounds and it cost him entrance into the promised land. David's son Absalom was correct in his anger against Amnon, who had raped his sister Tamar, but he took matters into his own hands and murdered his half-brother. Leviticus 19:18 says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Paul quotes both Deuteronomy and Proverbs in Romans 12, beginning in verse 19. "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's what we're called to do. And you say, "Oh, come on, be serious. Really? I'm supposed to do that when I'm angry?" No, you don't do that when you're angry. You let yourself cool off. But what we tend to do is we tend to feed the anger. We stay angry. We stay with that elevated heartbeat and blood pressure and the veins popping out of our neck and our faces beat red. And we feed that. And it continues and it grows until we're ready to do something about it, which is usually disastrous. Take a moment. Let the air out. Think and not just feel. Allow God to do what God does. To paraphrase the old Greyhound commercial, leave the judging to God, right? You know, that's not our place. Yeah, those people might be deserving of God's justice. You let God dispense the justice. Else we might find ourselves on the receiving end of His justice as well. Sometimes we have too high expectations that are never met, and it can make us angry. Maybe we need to evaluate our expectations. Make sure they're not unreachable. People are going to fail us, even if they don't want to. They're going to. They're human. So are we. Children are going to be irresponsible. Young people, and older people too, they're going to forget. Well-intentioned friends are going to let us down. If we can learn not to expect so much from everybody else, we may find ourselves not angry so much. We sing in the hymnal, Jesus never fails. That is the only name that applies to. You can't put anybody else's name in there and have it ring true. We all fail. Maybe lower our expectations a bit. How do we deal with anger? Here's some common, though not always healthy, ways of dealing with anger. You can repress it. Don't acknowledge the emotion, just stuff it down. You can suppress it. You can acknowledge the anger, but you don't express it publicly. You can vent it through sarcasm or project it onto another object or a situation. You can express it, and that can be seen in violent outbursts, verbal abuse. Or you can confess it. Acknowledge it to God. Allow God to work in us. Take advantage of the power He has put within us to get control over it. Seek reconciliation. Seek solutions rather than excuses and explanations. Obviously, the last one of those four would be the one I recommend. Confess it, admit it, acknowledge it, and then do something about it. Remember that anger is one little letter away from danger. We've got to be careful. It can be very dangerous in our lives. We must master it before it masters us. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, the old hymn speaks truth to our hearts. I need Thee every hour. Because the temptation to get mad is an every hour assault. We're so weary of the battle. Yet each new day introduces another set of irritations that bring the cauldron of our souls to a slow boil. It isn't long before our thoughts and our tongues spill over with bursts of anger. Sometimes so strong it frightens us and fractures relationships with others. We come to You with a simple yet sincere request. Nothing elaborate, no bargaining, no hidden motive, just a direct, specific, one-word prayer, our only hope, help. Help us with circumstances that corner us. Help us with people who aggravate us. Help us handle comments that stab and sting. Help us to have enough discernment to be angry about the right things and yet enough control to hold it in check when we should. Help, Lord. We do need You every hour. And it's in the all-powerful name of Your Son that we pray. Amen.